All right, we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Sorry, we're talking during the break. You just had to make sure I was clear to get back on the air. And we've got Director Dennis Butler joining us this morning, Raleigh County Police Department. One thing I've noticed in the last couple weeks, Director Butler, is crime is really settled down here locally. And there's some numbers that were given to me here earlier in the week by Haley Rowland, and you sent them over as well. But we're really seeing a big difference, a sharp decline in some of the crimes that have been reported.
Yeah, we have, and it doesn't surprise me. I think a lot of people are surprised by that. But during the course of my career, I've been involved or worked in areas that have had major crises. When I was back in Virginia, I was there during 9/11 and the Beltway Sniper, also during a few hurricanes. And whenever stuff like this happens, crime seems to pull back quite a bit usually. I'm not sure what the reasoning is. I'm sure a social scientist can tell you why that happens. But we're not complaining, of course. But when we ran the numbers here, we ran them for the first 3 weeks of March, March 1st through the 23rd, and I have to admit, I knew it was down, but I was surprised by just how much our most serious crime is down. And compared to our five-year average for the same period of time, our most serious crime is down 48.8%, so almost by half.
Yeah, with that, you know, the property crimes, which I know happen all the time, it seems like those have pretty much been cut in half this month compared to last year even.
Yeah, and property crime really does drive the serious crime rate. We call that part one crime. So whenever part one crime increases or decreases, it's usually driven by property crime, not violent crime. Violent crime just is not as prevalent in our community or society as property crime is.
And that being said, calls for service are also down quite a bit, actually.
24%.
Yeah, 24%. That's significant, and that could be for a number of reasons, I suppose.
Well, again, you know, when you don't have people out and about, you know, encountering issues, they're mostly at home or secluded at work. We just don't usually see as many calls for service. And keep in mind, when serious crime is down, those come into us through calls. So that explains part of it, but a lot of it is just normal things that people might call us about, they don't, because they're focused on things that in their lives are more important than calling us.
And that being said, if crime, you still want people reporting crime, and a lot of folks are going back indoors now and they're not out and about as much, but if crime's still happening, certainly call that in.
We have not discouraged anyone in any form from calling us when they need us. So that is absolutely correct. We are taking extraordinary precautions to protect our workforce and preserve their ability to serve our community. So if they need us, it shouldn't matter what they need us for. They need to call communications and report or inquire what their concern is, and then we will take it from there.
I look at the arrest report on a daily basis when I come in the mornings, and you know, I've seen very few arrests here this past week, especially. And those are way down as well, and that's good news. 138 through the first 3 weeks of March compared to 196 last year.
Right, and you know, there's been reports across the country about departments that really are not enforcing the law, and I don't want to be specific or speculate as to why they've made that decision. I want our community to know that we're still doing that. We may do it a little bit differently. For example, there may be some nonviolent crimes where in the past we would physically arrest someone and take them to the jail. And now we are giving officers the discretion to write them a notice to appear. They still have been arrested. They just haven't been taken into physical custody. They're given a court date. And if they fail to appear for the court date, then a failure to appear warrant's issued, and then we will arrest them and bring them to jail, and a bond will be set. So we're giving them more latitude in terms of how they contact people and how they handle the situation. But we have not told our officers, don't arrest people. We have given them also discretion on traffic stops. So if they have a minor violation that they witness, depending on the circumstances, they may choose not to pull the car over. The only thing that we have really eliminated from traffic enforcement right now is there were some scheduled statewide traffic enforcement campaigns. They're called STEP programs. You see those advertised a lot on television and sometimes on the radio, and we have suspended our participation in those right now because we just want to limit opportunities for officers to encounter people that could be infected with COVID-19. So that's about the only thing we said, don't do this. We're still investigating accidents, still pulling people over for traffic violations if it's hazardous, especially.
Again, we're talking with Director Dennis Butler, Raleigh County Police Department, here on In Focus. And, you know, the one thing that probably surprised me the most, not too much, I guess, but with Fake Patty's Day being canceled on March 21st due to all the concerns with health and everything, I still thought maybe we'd see, you know, some incident maybe happen away from Aggieville with house parties potentially being a problem, but there was no arrests from what I've understood.
No, there was some minimal activity. We didn't see indoors house parties, but excuse me, our officers did see some front yard house parties. So we had some students that were in the spirit trying to follow the guidelines on social distancing, but we did find them out in their front yards, not a lot, just a few, wearing green, you know, signage that indicated they were trying to celebrate, but we thought it was okay. No one got arrested, nobody got warned. We felt as though it was, you know, you got to have some sense of humor during this, and we thought some folks did some pretty clever things that kept us from having to get involved and also respected the social distancing guidelines.
And I know you guys were pretty well staffed for that. That was just kind of out of a precaution.
Yeah, you know, we always have to plan for what's possible, even though there was many signs that we weren't going to have the issues that we normally have on Fake Patty's Day, but you never know. And so we just wanted to be prepared, and we're glad we were, and we're glad everything worked out well.
As far as the future here for that event in particular, now that we've had a year, I guess, removed from it, what do you anticipate going forward with that event? Do you think we'll see a more controlled event going forward?
It's really hard to say because we have no control over how that's organized or advertised by the business owners in Aggieville. So, you know, I don't know if what's happened this year will impact how they plan for it next year. I know this has been a huge financial hit to the business owners in Aggieville and many other business owners, folks that would come in from out of town and stay in hotels. The hospitality industry, I know, has been hit badly by this whole event. So I really don't know what to expect, but they're good. Aggieville is good about communicating with us on what to expect in the future. So probably sometime next year, you know, we'll hear more about what their plans are, and then we'll make our plans according to that.
Absolutely. Well, I know there's been a lot of events that have been canceled or postponed. Not just that one's a significant one because so many people go to that, but talk about some of the things you guys have had canceled on you, some conferences and such.
Yeah, just about every out-of-town training that I'm aware of has been canceled. I've had several events, sometimes they're evening, sometimes daytime events, sometimes training, have been canceled at least through May. I think the most the most significant one for us was earlier this month. In fact, it was a week ago today. Myself and several members of the staff are supposed to be out of town attending the conference on Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. And this was for us to go through our hearing with a panel of CALEA commissioners to receive our reaccreditation. And for the first time ever, that was done remotely. So we didn't even have Zoom. It was just a conference call, so we didn't get to see who we were talking to. They asked us a few questions about our department and read the assessment that had been conducted back in December by the on-site assessors. So they recommended that we be reaccredited, so that's good news for our community. And as far as I know, that recommendation was adopted by the full commission. So what we're planning now, if they do have their next conference, and it's really kind of making lemonade out of lemons here, the next conference is scheduled for the end of July in Oklahoma City. So even though we don't have to, I think it's important for the staff that worked so hard on this to go down to Oklahoma City and accept the award there. They've told us that option is probably going to be offered. So we'll drive down to Oklahoma City, save a lot of money on airfare and hotels, and hopefully go get our award at the end of July.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's good news. It's always good to have an accredited police department. You know, you've talked on here, I know, a number of times about why that's so important. There's a supposed to be an event this weekend I know that you guys are heavily involved with as well, and that's Polar Plunge. Is there a rescheduled date for that? I guess probably not with going into springtime.
I haven't seen a rescheduled date, but I do want to emphasize to your listeners that, and I've done this, you can still contribute to this event because it does support Special Olympics Kansas. So there is going to be a virtual plunge, so people can go online and see how that will be conducted. I'm not sure, but they still can go on and make contributions to Special Olympics. And I would encourage them, you know, so many charities hold fundraisers that have been canceled. You know, the road race, I think, that was supposed to be held on St. Patrick's Day is a fundraiser. So I would really encourage people to not give up on those things. And continue to support them even if they can't go and do it in person.
Of course, in sports, the sports world's been hit significantly, and hopefully we'll get a rescheduled day for those state games because that's so important to those athletes.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm a sports fan, so I've watched the Chiefs win the Super Bowl two more times, which has been a lot of fun. And running some reruns on past sporting events on television. So, yeah, but it's nothing like the real thing as it happens.
Yeah, yesterday was supposed to be the first day of baseball, and that's obviously put off for a while. So,
yes.
Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more from Director Dennis Butler. He's joining us on News Radio K-Man's In Focus. Stay tuned. More after this.